Okay, so we're starting the Arachayim Parshas B'Shalach. Wanted to essentially touch on three different stories in the Parsha that are elucidated by the Arachayim. First, a little bit about the Od Yoshia, which appears, of course, in B'Shalach. Then an extensive comment he has on the Mon. And then finally, an insight the very end of the Parsha, where he talks about the water at Refidim, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock for the first time, you know, when they first leave Mitzrayim, and what that illustrates about the Nisyonos, the various difficulties that Klal Yisrael had in general during the years that they were in the Midbar. So first I just want to start with an Arachayim on page Tzadi, which is Perek Tesvav Pasuk Beis, where the Arachayim relates Oz Yoshir to a klal and tefillah in general. Oz Yashir, of course, starts off early on. Ozi v'zimros ka, by Hilel Yeshua, God's strength and vengeance was a salvation for me. Zekeli v'anveyu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Elokei ovi v'aralimenu, the God of my father, and I will make him great. So Arachayim comments as follows. When a person wants to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Arachayim, the standard derech, or what should be the standard derech, is that a person first praises God for those things that he's experienced from God directly, you know, whether it be Yeshua's, or whether it be understandings, you know, what he's come on his own to understand from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then afterwards he speaks of the understandings of God which he's received from his forefathers. We find that paradigm used by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah when they wrote Shmon Esrei. Elokeinu, v'achar kach Elokei Avoseinu. Right? In Avos, we first speak of God, the opening brach of Shmon Esrei, we first speak of God as Elokeinu, our God. In other words, God in the way in which he relates to us. And only afterwards do we say, Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In other words, we first acknowledge our experience, our personal experience with Hashem. And only afterwards do we speak about the experience our forefathers had. Well, as that Sidru v'Ascholas Hashir Mashigir Mituvo, the Amru, Ozi v'Zimros Ka, Vayil Yishua, right, so the opening part of the pasuk says, God was my strength and my vengeance, and he was my salvation. In other words, the beginning of Oz Yashir speaks of the personal salvation that, or the salvation that the Klal Yisrael personally experienced. They are personal beneficiaries of the fact that they left Mitzrayim at this point. And what does it mean by Hilul Yeshua? I mean, the Arachayim says, the Yeshua, the salvation, is not just that they got out of Mitzrayim, it's that they got out of Mitzrayim early. Because remember, the Bris Ben Absarim said that they would be there for 400 years, and they left after 210. So, you know, they were giving thanks for the fact that they were privileged to be around, you know, during the time that Hashem took them out, even though it was actually earlier than the time was really supposed to be. And then, after saying Vayili Lishua, that Hashem was our source of salvation, they say Zekeli, meaning this is the God that I've experienced, and then Elokei, the God of my father. When the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, says the Arachayim, conceived the formula at the beginning of Shmon Esrei, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, our God, and the God of our forefathers, the model they were working off was the beginning of the Oz Yashir. Zekeli, Elokei Avi. Right? This is my God, and the God of my forefathers. Right? In other words, that paradigm is something that they got from here. Of course, over here they don't say Ze Elokeinu ve'anveihu, Elokei Ovinu Varomimenu, whereas they don't use the plural, they use the singular. This is my God, the God of my father. Why? Because Klal Yisrael have been so united after this experience at Yam Suf, they're literally talking as with one voice. You know, literally talking as if it's one man, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, you know, that they're gathered together at Yam Suf with that degree of unity. So again, that's just one point which I wanted to start off the Shir with, the Oz Yashir being a paradigm for the later Brach of Avos, and the later Brach of Avos in its own right, just telling us a very important idea about how we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. We praise him first for the personal experiences we have had, because those are just by definition much more meaningful to us. Those things, those ways in which we've perceived God or come into contact with God, or experience God's salvation on a personal level. That's the first order of praise, and then we can praise God for the way in which He revealed Himself to our forefathers. The way He saved our forefathers. Again, those things we only know secondhand. We should acknowledge those, right? Again, right at the beginning of Oz Yashir, right after the praise of God for splitting the sea, they're also talking about Elokei Avi, that God is the God of my forefathers, even though, they weren't there at Kriyas Yam Suf. We have to acknowledge that. But the first order of business is to acknowledge how God relates to us, and then acknowledge how God relates to our forefathers.
So I'm just wondering, the Rav is constantly using the word our experience. At that time, they didn't have it written. But now we have it written. So can we say that this Elokeinu, the same Ribbono Shel Olam that was our forefathers, and he has a track record. So our experience shows that this is talking the same Ribbono Shel Olam. Mm-hmm. He's got a track record. And that's why we have out this experience. We accept this Elokeinu because of his track record as well.
Mm-hmm. In other words, we see him, and he also did things for our forefathers.
So we know that he's so, not just a one-time deal.
Right. It's good. I mean, that I think is already in the Archaim. In other words, on the one hand, it's important to acknowledge God relating to us on a personal level. On the other hand, he's not a Johnny come lately, kivyacho. It's not just that he did for us, but he has this track record, as he said. His involvement with our people goes back for generations and generations, for centuries, and that gives us a certain confidence, right? In other words, God has been around for us. He's the Atzilut, right?
Continuity, the same God that we had,
right?
The same God that we have the same.
No, very, very nice.
At the time that there was a nace, there were many nays, the plural of nays,
right.
There were very many nisim. I could see why the Am Yisrael had personal belief what God did for them, for each one, each person. But my question is, in today's day and age, don't we have to say that God does everything for us? How do we distinguish what God did for us? Isn't our belief that God does everything for us?
Yeah, no, but I think what the Archaim is saying is that there are times in our lives where we feel God in a very direct sense. And there are also things about God that we picture and we imagine, things that we've come to understand, not just things that have been told to us, but personal experiences we've had. And when we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first point in which we should praise the Ribbono Shel Olam is to make reference to our personal experiences, the time that I really felt the hand of God. And then the next thing after that is to, is to make mention of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for our forefathers as well. Of course, God is doing everything for us, but we perceive God, in certain select moments, and it's important to focus on those as the first point of entry, to connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Not to belabor the point, but I've heard it said why God doesn't do open miracles anymore. That question to me rings in this archive, because for us to think that times when God is closer to us and God is not as close to us, that takes a lot of sensitivity. I mean, I don't know, do we have really the capacity to understand when God is close to us, and when, or do, I mean, I don't know. Without open miracles, I think it's a hard. Other than the fact that we wake up every day is an open miracle. I mean.
So I think, again, let's just translate into very, very real life terms, right? So you can thank God for the events of Purim, right? Because that certainly was a big miracle that we the Jewish people as a whole benefited from. But there's a different kind of emotion when I thank God for having enabled me to see a simcha take place in my family. Right? It's more personal. Right? And a person is sensitive and can feel the role of God in his life as well. Baruch Hashem, that I was zocha to make it to see whatever it happens to be. You know, this bar mitzvah, this chasana, you know, this joyous occasion. Right? So I can perceive God in very, very real, you know, personal terms then. It's easier for me to relate to God as the God who enabled me to see this simcha. You know, it's much more close up, you know, than speaking of God who brought about the Purim story, where the truth is, look, the Purim story is a much greater miracle, you know, objectively speaking. If you had to rate miracles, it's a much bigger miracle than the fact that Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to make a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, when I'm zocha to make the bar mitzvah, I experience God on a very, very personal level there. And that's my first point of entry, you know, when I want to relate to God. God is Elokeinu, the God who helped me make the bar mitzvah. And then afterwards, he's Elokei Avoseinu, the one who, you know, helped the Jewish people by the time of Purim.
I have this question for a while, especially in the parshios of this time. They're seeing, as Marty was saying, open miracles, so, and more to come. And we say, oh, it's going to shape. But they, and we said it in Mara tonight, Oso Samosim. So there's no Amuna and Betokan, there's the Oso Samosim. And even now, they're 3 days out, they don't have any water, the water's undrinkable, okay. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's going to throw some holy answer.
Yeah. So the Archive is actually going to talk about that, as I said. So I'm hoping we'll get there, as I said. Okay. So that's a little thing from the Oz Yosher. Let's fast forward to the Mon. Right? So we know that when we get to the Mon, which is Perek Tes Zayin, the parasha of the Mon is the first time in the Chumash, after Ma'aseh Bereishis, that we find the notion of Shabbos introduced to the Jewish people. Right? In other words, you don't collect the Mon on Shabbos. But it's interesting, if you look in the Psukim, the way in which Shabbos is taught to the Jewish people is very odd. Right? If you take a look in the Psukim, in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, "Vayilketu alzal ba'boker ba'boker." They collected the mon every morning. Ishkafi achlav as much as they could eat. V'chamas shemesh v'nomos. The sun would grow hot. It would melt. Vayhi bayom hashishi, right? And it came to pass on the Friday. Loktu lechem mishne sheha omer lo echad. They gathered a double portion. Vayovo kol nesiyei ha'edo vayagidu l'moshe. And all of the Nisim came and they told Moshe about this unusual thing. In other words, read the pasuk very carefully, right? The people were surprised about the presence of the double portion on Friday. They were collecting, you know, they walk up Friday, they figure, okay, Friday's just a normal day, and boom, all of a sudden, you know, two for the price of one. They're collecting, and it's like, you know, they're able to collect more. Right? You know, there's more that falls per person. So they're puzzled by this. They don't understand this. So they come and they ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Aleihem. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to them as follows, Oh, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. This is what Hashem was talking about. Shabbosom Shabbos Kodesh Hashem Mochar. Tomorrow is a holy day called Shabbos for Hashem. Eis Asher Tofu Eifu, Veis Asher Tevashlu Bashelu. Do whatever you want with today's portion, and tomorrow's portion you'll have for tomorrow. Usually you can't leave over from one day to the next, but you know what? Tomorrow's a special thing called Shabbos, and, you know, guess what? This extra portion was for them. Now, Chaim points out, it's very strange, right? It's almost like Moshe Rabbeinu was keeping a secret from the people. And if you follow the flow of the Psukim, it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu has been let into the know by Hashem about this thing called Shabbos. Hu asher diber Hashem. Oh, you found a double portion. Funny. That's what Hashem told me about, that there's this thing called Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu, with all due respect, if Hashem told you there's this thing called Shabbos, you know, and that the mon is going to adjust itself for Shabbos, how come you didn't let everybody else in on it? What, it's insider trading, right? As you were afraid to let people know there's something called Shabbos. You're only telling them there's something called Shabbos when they come and they ask. Why don't you tell them in advance? Wouldn't it have made more sense to prep the people on Thursday and say, guess what, Rabbosai, there's going to be a double portion tomorrow in anticipation of Shabbos. Why the secrecy? Right? Very, very strange. So the Arachayim writes as follows.
Did they gather before Moshe even spoke to them? Did they gather twice as much before Moshe told them?
Like, so what does that mean? So it seems like there was twice as much available.
But normally whatever was available wasn't like you said, they were supposed to only gather whatever was needed for that day.
Right, so remember what Chazal say about the man, that, you know, for the tzaddikim in particular, the tzaddikim would have it falling on their doorstep. So in other words, in the case of the tzaddikim, you know, apparently it was much more readily obvious that they were meant to take a double portion. If it's just, it's out there, and I come with my bucket, and, you know, I'm just throwing mon in, okay, mela. But the tzaddikim, the nesiei ha'eda, remember, you know, they're the choshuva ones, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, you know, this whole week, we've just been getting one omer on the doorstep. This morning, we got two Omrim on the doorstep. What's going on over here? Right? They didn't know. They didn't understand it.
But they gathered first.
Right. They got, right. Interesting. Okay.
They gathered first, or they gathered just one day's supply and then asked, was it, you know, why the abundance that for us to take for any other reason, or is there a kiddush coming up, or...
Right. Okay, interesting, right? They go ahead and they take it anyway, right? So that's a separate question, right? Apparently they must have felt that they were entitled to it because it was falling on the doorstep, right? In other words, Hashem obviously wants us to take it, right? But the Archaims, you know...
Yeah, I think it mattered how much they took. It just came out for an omer.
Or stay omer.
They took less or more.
Right, or in this case, two omerim, right? In other words, that they...
They took it with no...
But I'm saying, you know, in this case, on Friday, whatever they took was two omer. Right, right. So in other words, it kind of worked out. So.
It worked out by itself.
Right, it worked out by itself. So let's take a look at the Arachayim on page Sadi Tes, which is Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Chof Beis. He says, Vayagidu l'Moshe, Mikar Mashma Shlo Adiyam Kodim Dvar Hashem. Right, the whole story implies that Moshe Rabbeinu had not told the people in advance what God had told him. God had told Moshe something about it being Shabbos, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and the people were not told. And when the people come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, guess what? We found this double portion. What's up with that? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, guess what? There's something called Shabbos. That's what Hashem told me about. So if Hashem told you about it, what's the secret? Right? Forget about it not being nice. It may be a chiyuv misa, right? We know that a Navi who's kovish nebuasa, if a Navi gets prophecy from God and doesn't convey it onto the people, so that's a death penalty, right? If you get a nebuah from Hashem, the idea is to pass it on. V'lim dunu rabu seder din Navi ha-kovish nebuasa chas v'sholom, right? It's not a good thing. U'magam b'hagodas mitzvah l'kayim yisor ritzom ha-melech. Shiesh bozeh beis b'chinos kovish nebuah v'akiris ha-mitzvah. And here it's even worse than a Stam Kovish Nebuasa. Stam Kovish Nebuasa, God tells you, go tell the people X, Y, and Z. Let's say with Yonah, you know, so Yonah is told, go tell the people to do tshuva, right? Go to Nineveh and tell them to go do tshuva. All right, so, you know, he's Kovish Nebuasa. But here it's even worse than that. Here, his failure to tell the people about Shabbos means that they won't know about Shabbos. Right? I mean, how can Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an irresponsible thing to do. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, convey to the people there's something called Shabbos, and he doesn't do it. Right? So what are you going to say? That he forgot what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him? In other words, I mean, it's a bizarre way to read the Pesukim. Right? The people come and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, guess what? We found the second helping of Mom this morning. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I knew I was supposed to tell you something. Right? I knew I had something. Something I was supposed to tell you. Chas v'sholom, how can you say such a thing? So once he forgets one thing, he can forget many things. Take it from Yad Hayalullah, give Nebu also. Right? They should have said everything right away. In any case, how do you understand that Moshe Rabbeinu is just keeping this idea of Shabbos close to his chest?
Don't you know from Shabbos, from Pasha's relationship about the Aaron by Loka?
So the concept of Shabbos clearly goes back to my situations. Again, according to Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu enabled the Jewish people to rest on Shabbos in Mitzrayim, but these specific ideas about how the mon is going to be doubled on Friday, so you don't have to collect it on Shabbos, you would think that Moshe Rabbeinu would have told the people that in advance. Right? And it sounds like the people are discovering this and then coming back to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So only the
chiddush about how the mon functions on Shabbos. Right? Of collecting? Okay, that's debated in the Mishonim. It's not so poshut. Right? It could be kotzer, it could be ma'amer, you know, the different pshatim in terms of that. Achein, Moshe Rabbeinu time of nimuko ima. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had his reasons, and let me explain, says the Achein. And Moshe Rabbeinu very sweetly gives, or very accurately gives, the following answer. Ba'omro, Hu asher diber Hashem Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh, kan benom devar av hishmet tevas leimor. Romaz, ki lo diber lo Hashem leimor lohem. There's a missing word over here, which is usually present in any mitzvah which Moshe Rabbeinu communicates to the people. Usually the standard stock phrase is Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leymar. And Leymar means to tell the people. Here, if you read over the pasuk, Hu Asher Diber Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Shabbosim Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem Mochar, right? That tomorrow is a holy day of Shabbos to Hashem. The word Leymar, which we would expect to be in the pasuk, is missing. So in other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu is basically telling the people is, God did reveal this thing to me, that the laws of the mon are going to, you know, the laws of Shabbos, that there's a special issue with the mon and Shabbos, right? But it was not Leymar. I understood, said Moshe Rabbeinu, that God's intent was not for me to convey this information to you. This is not Kovesh Nevuaso. Kovesh Nevuaso means God tells me, tell the people, and I don't. No. I understood God as telling me something which was classified information. Now, why would he understand it that way is a separate issue. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the first thing is, Moshe Rabbeinu already tells the people, I understood that Hashem didn't want me to convey this directly to you. Okay, so that we'll see. There's Hashem. Vashir al kein adover b'val toma k'ma'amor amzal because of nu b'posik v'idaver shomati. Right? So in other words, sometimes something can be communicated, and if it's communicated as classified information, Moshe Rabbeinu Davka shouldn't say it over. That's why I didn't tell them initially. Says the Arachayim, if you pay careful attention to a pasuk earlier in that same parsha, you'll see the truth of what I'm saying. Right, Perek Tazayin Pasuk Dal. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Right, when the idea of the mon is first revealed, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Hineni Mamti Lochem Lechem Nashomoyim. I'm going to come and bring down bread from the heavens. V'yotza Am V'loftu Dvarayom V'yomo L'man Anaseno Yelach B'Sarasi Imlo. The people will gather it every day. V'hoyo Vayom Hashishi V'yichino Es Asher Yoviu. On the sixth day, there'll be an extra portion to allow them to prepare for Shabbos. For Hayom Mishnah, I'll show you Kutu Yom Yom. And it will be an additional portion on Friday, above and beyond what they get every day. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, already at the beginning of the Perek, is told of this double portion on Friday, and yet we see that the people seem to be surprised when it falls later on. So obviously Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell them. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? So says the Archive, look at the Chumash. Instead of saying in the beginning of Pasuk Daled, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Leimor, or Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Leimor, it just says Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Right? The implication of the Pasuk itself being, Hashem told this information to Moshe Rabbeinu, but part of it, the part about the double portion falling on Friday, was meant to be classified. It was not meant to be told over to the people. The people were supposed, Moshe Rabbeinu was in the know, but God's plan was that the people should be surprised by the appearance of the second portion on Friday.
Well, they weren't ready.
One second. Hare sasam hadavar b'fanav she'en lo shlichus b'mitzvah zol Yisrael. Right? So in other words, the implication is, Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to this aspect of the mitzvah, to tell people that there's a double portion on Friday, and that you should, you know, use it to get ready for Shabbos, that was not a shlichus. He was not told to convey that to the Jewish people. For who sha'amar, who, achar ma'isa shalaktu lechem mishnah, ubal lefonov, gilo lehem adava, v'omar lehem shalom hoya etzlo el b'derech sod, nimzru lo hadvarim, v'lo lo omram. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people after they come and they report, hey, gee, there's this extra portion, you know, outside our doorsteps. What's going on over here? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, ah, yes, I did know about that, but God meant it to be a classified secret information, and that's why I didn't tell you about it. So of course this all begs the question, why is this so classified? Right? So the truth is, if we're right, says the Arachayim, the whole story with the mon, all of the mitzvahs related to the mon, I'm going to give you mon, and you're going to go out and collect it every day, all of that is conveyed to Moshe Rabbeinu without the word leimor. So who gave Moshe Rabbeinu the right to say any of it over to the Jewish people? Why is it dafka when it came to Shabbos, he held back, but the other, the other information about the imminent falling of the mon, you know, how come that he felt comfortable conveying to the people? So he says as follows. What's that? Okay. So, but hear what he says about Shabbos. That's really the ikar of it. The nira kineschaki Moshe b'chakiras chacham. Moshe Rabbeinu analyzed the words of God as follows. Lama lo rasa Hashem shiyomah hadvarim liYisrael. Well, why does God want to keep this as classified information? V'hiskil kital mohu shechofetz Hashem lintoa behem neta emunas v'astok as mitzvah Shabbos. God's intention was to cause the people to truly absorb and believe in the mitzvah of Shabbos. Shetia kabalosa v'idiosa mimenu kel elyon. God wanted the Jewish people to experience Shabbos as a matana, as a gift that comes directly from Hashem, not through a shliach, not through an agent. Right? Rather, as Yaakov said before, that the people should just go out on Friday, like it's a regular day, and they'll measure their regular amount, it's a takapesh kuf, right? They'll measure their regular amount, and lo and behold, they will be shocked to discover that it's a double amount. Yiru ri'ya chushis v'sichlis, ki Hashem mitzav lohem leval yitruchu b'yom Shabbos, u'mazmin lohem yom shish yitzarach yom zayin, if the people find out about Shabbos in that way, it will make an incredible, indelible impression upon them. Now, it says there are Chaim. There are two ways that people can discover about Shabbos and, you know, its interaction with the Mon. Moshe Rabbeinu can call everybody together, you know, a meeting, and say, you know, on Saturday is going to be Shabbos, and on Friday there's going to be a double portion. and you should know that God is providing for you on Shabbos, and the people will fall asleep. Right? We'll make such a Rosh Hashanah. But if the people first discover the notion of Shabbos and, you know, the special nature of the month, if they're caught by surprise and they their first experience of Shabbos is the miraculous, wow, wait, I thought this was supposed to be an Omer. It's two Omer. What's going on over here? If their first experience of Shabbos is, wow, this is amazing. I wouldn't have expected this in a million years. This is a matana from Hashem himself. That will make an everlasting impression upon them, and they will never transgress Shabbos. That's the Aruch Chaim says. That's why Shabbos should be a surprise. Right? Well, if Moshe Rabbeinu just gives it over as a mitzvah among mitzvahs, all right, it's another thing we have to do. There should be a surprise associated with Shabbos.
Isn't there also a possibility if somebody violates the Shabbos, the Shogeg, the issue is much less. If somebody is weird at Shabbos, perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the Jews were not able at this time to observe the Shabbos, and therefore, if they didn't know Shabbos was coming...
Yeah, but then you get into a big issue, so there you apply that logic to everything in the Torah. Right? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't tell them any mitzvahs, because maybe they'll be able to, you know, they should be over b'shogeg, right?
First, explicit question, Ron. What stopped the people from eating both portions on Friday?
Mm-hmm. Right, so there already, that comes to what Harry asked before, you know, the fact that it turned into two portions, that just kind of happened on its own. They didn't want to do it, but they said, okay, well, you know, we're not touching this stuff. Let's go to Moshe Rabbeinu and find out what's going on over there. They had a certain sitkus, you know, that would prevent them from doing that. Uchmamorim Zal, and, you know, the Shabbos is such an important thing. As Chazal say, Shokol Shabbos, Kenegit Kol HaTorah Kula. Shabbos is equal in importance to the entire Torah. Right? So, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want it coming from him. He wanted it to come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Him told myself, look, in the end of the day, even though Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them, but the initial communication comes from God, you know, in this miraculous fashion, that makes an everlasting Rosha. V'od, furthermore, imhoya makdim ha-mitzvus ha-yidei Moshe, adayin eish makam litos. Right? There's another reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be the one to directly and initially tell them about the existence of Shabbos. Al derech ma she'omer b'menachos perek Rabbi Yishmael, in line with what it says in the Gemara Menachos about the observance of Shavuos. We know that one of the big debates between the rabbis and various heretical sects was the question of when Shavuos comes out. The heretical sects claimed that Shavuos always came out on a Sunday. Right? It's like Memorial Day. Always comes out on a Monday. Right? Shavuos always comes out on a Sunday. Right? Because you start counting Sfira Mimachras HaShabbos from after the Shabbos of Pesach. So the Mele of 50 days, you know, the 50th day is going to be always on a Sunday. Right? So, Kishnitma Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai by Susim Warurim. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was trying to fight against this heretical sect. And he said, you know, why would you assume that Shavuos is always on Sunday? Right? So an elder heretic got up and responded to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He said, you know why Shavuos is on a Sunday? Long weekends! Moshe Rabbeinu was the Noah of Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. He knew that Shavuos, unlike Pesach, and the Sukkot is only one day long. Right? So he said, no, it's chaval that you should only have one day just like in the middle of nowhere. You know what? We'll make, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu made Shavuos on Sunday, permanently. Well, long weekend, right? You know, like a Memorial Day weekend. The Kotzwa tells the Shom, is the Lashonim, Omar v'tikna v'akodesh baruch hu hiskim al yodo. Tosis explains over there, it's not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu just kind of made it up on his own entirely. You know, the claim of these heretics was that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, introduced the idea of Shavuos being on a Sunday, and God bought it. you know, God legislated that which originally came from Moshe, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. So, in other words, there was an idea floating around, even as late as the time of the Mishnayos, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a large role in figuring out the Yomim Tov. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just the scribe, you know, telling the people what HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had commanded. Moshe Rabbeinu was running the show. Moshe Rabbeinu was making up various mitzvahs, and God was kind of rubber stamping, you know, these mitzvahs. That was a concept that was still floating around. It's an erroneous concept, but a concept that was still floating around, you know, even into the days of the Tanoim. Hare ki yesh Torah shagam shetia mitzvah mipi Moshe, yaskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yodo, in kain yesh hefesh lakdomas yedias ha-mitzvah min yisoyim kel elyon. Right, so that's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu Davka didn't tell the people about Shabbos from the beginning. Let it come from God. In other words, let people not think that the institution of Shabbos is something that was sort of made up by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a Moshe idea, it's a God idea. Now the truth is, you know, in Shabbos in particular, there's even more reason for the people to think that Shabbos comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu already instituted Shabbos for the Jewish people while they were in Mitzrayim as a day of rest. So, you know, it wouldn't have been such an illogical thing to say, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu basically continued his concept, his einfalt of Shabbos, you know, Saturdays off, right? No work on, ain't gonna work on Saturdays. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who came up with this idea in Egypt, is continuing this idea into the Midbar. I, God, by Maimon Har Sinai, by the Seres HaDibro, says, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Well, you know what that means? God liked Moshe Rabbeinu's idea so much that he put it in the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, you know, that's how Tosfos interprets, you know, what the Baisusim were saying about the institution of Shavuos on Sunday. Yeah, God commanded us about Shabbos because he liked the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this way, in making the idea of Shabbos be taught to the people by God himself, it becomes abundantly clear that Shabbos is not a Moshe thing. Shabbos is a God thing. It comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself.
What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know about Shabbos when they were in Mitzrayim? They weren't working. Did they have any idea why they weren't working on Shabbos? Did they feel like Shabbos was a holy day?
Well, let's say, even if it was a holy day, I mean, it says Moshe Rabbeinu had them reading Megillus on Shabbos. You know, some of them, they treated it as a holy day. But again, they may have seen it as, you know, like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu came up with this smart idea to keep Shabbos as a holy day to give us a spiritual rejuvenation, which the truth is may have been correct. In other words, when they're keeping Shabbos in Mitzrayim, it's pre-Matan Torah. I mean, it's pre any tzivui from Hashem to keep Shabbos. They really are keeping it as a Moshe Rabbeinu holiday as opposed to a Ribbono Shel Olam holiday. But by this time, you know, it should be abundantly clear to the people that, you know, the institution of Shabbos now is coming from Hashem.
This is before Matan Torah.
This is pre-Matan Torah, yeah.
Why would it be any different than Israel?
Because there is a concept that there's some mitzvahs that predate Matan Torah. Mila, right? Shabbos, right? Chukosel b'mora nitztavu b'asara, right? We're told that there was already an institution of Shabbos that was given at Mora. Kibbud Avoim was given at Mora. In other words, there are mitzvahs that predate Matan Torah. They are signed off on again by Matan Torah, but, you know, they could have been given, you know, Kirhanosha, you know, there's certain things that were given, you know, prior to Matan Torah.
What does the rabbi say it should be abundantly clear?
But I guess just the answer is, as much as certain people ascribe, you know, said, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you made it up, it's not from God, it would have been that much worse, you know, had this thing not put into be put into place. In other words, you know, God is doing all that he can in order to convey that Shabbos comes from Hashem, not from Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. So again, I promise by the end of the shiur, hopefully there's an Or HaChaim in this week's parsha who talks a little bit about that idea. Well, you know, these people saw all these miracles and they're grumbling and rebellious. How do you understand that? You know, so Or HaChaim himself is going to talk about that Be'ez Hashem a little bit later, and hopefully we'll make sure that we get it in by the end of tonight, right? So that says the Or HaChaim is the second reason that it's incredibly important for Moshe Rabbeinu to allow God to be the one who conveys the idea of Shabbos. It shouldn't come from him directly. Nonetheless, says the Or HaChaim, the Ribbono Shel Olam had something of a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in performing things in such a fashion. Now, if we keep reading in the Pesukim back in the Chumash, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people about Shabbos, right? And then it says, you know, on Shabbos morning, right, they leave over the second portion, it doesn't go bad. Vayomer Moshe says in Chofei, Hichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Hashem. Yeah, okay, this second portion that didn't go bad, didn't spoil, is for today, because Shabbos Hayom Hashem, today is Shabbos. Hayom Osim Sa'u Basoda. Today you won't find it out in the field. What you gathered yesterday is for today. Sheshes Yom Til Ketuv Hayom Hashvi. Shabbos Lo Yiyevo. Right, so he tells them about Shabbos, of course, what happens. Vayiv Hayom Hashvi, you know, on the seventh day on Shabbos. Yotsu Min Ha'am Lo Kol V'lo Motso. People go out, Dosen Daviram, people go out to collect the mom, and lo and behold, it isn't there. What's Hashem's reaction? Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Ad Ono Me'antem L'shmor Mitzvosai V'sor Osai. How much longer will you refuse to observe my mitzvahs and my Torah? Now, Rashi comments over here that the statement is being addressed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Hashem is not telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Ono Me'anu L'shmor Mitzvosai V'sorosai. How much longer are these people going to ignore my mitzvahs? It's Ad Ono Me'antem. How much longer will you, Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of the people, ignore my mitzvahs? And Rashi comments over here that, you know, Moshe Hedyadu, Bahadi Hutzal Loki Karbo, right? As the expression goes, you know, when you destroy the thorns in the field, you destroy the vegetables as well. If there's a fire, you know, there's a fire going through the field, it not only destroys the thorns, but it burns off some of the vegetables. They are showing Misganin Aksherim. That when God is upset at the people because of the Rishoyim, Dasan Avirim, who went out to collect the man, so he gets mad at the Ksherim as well. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam is expressing anger at Moshe Rabbeinu for the fact that, you know, these Rishoyim went out to collect the man on Shabbos. And, you know, the Or HaChaim is bothered by that, you know. Doesn't seem fair. I mean, when all said and done, okay, so Rishoyim, you know, we're all in this together. You know, if the Rishon do something wrong, it's ultimately collective responsibility, but still, doesn't quite seem fair. Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, don't collect it, it's going to be Shabbos, right? And they went out, they ignored Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do you have a title to Moshe Rabbeinu? What more do you want him to do? I should put up barricades. I mean, like, what do you want from Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Or HaChaim a little bit later, on Pasuk Chof Ches, which is page Kuf Aleph, on Ono Me'antem, right? So the Or HaChaim says that on a certain level, Moshe Rabbeinu had erred somewhat in the way in which he presented Shabbos to the people. Because he made such a big deal out of the fact that, you know what, Hashem only told me about the fact that, there would be this thing called Shabbos, and that the man would be impacted upon by Shabbos. And he didn't ask me to convey it to the people. So some people took that statement of Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, oh. So in other words, you're saying, we don't really have to do it? Right? And if Hashem would have told you, Vaydaber Hashem, O Moshe, Leymar, keep Shabbos. Okay, so then that's a tzivui for Hashem. But now you're telling me that Hashem told you about Shabbos, and He explicitly did not instruct you to tell it to the Jewish people, and you're telling us that. So I guess what you mean to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, is that Shabbos is optional, because if it would have been obligatory, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told you to convey it to us. Obviously, this is extra credit. You're just letting us in on a little secret that God has, but you know, we don't really have to keep it. Right? So the very ischakmus, says the Arachayim, the very cleverness of Moshe Rabbeinu in trying to let the people, you know, find out about Shabbos from God Himself and not from Him, in a certain sense backfires, and the people feel, oh, well, this was really miraculous that God did this thing with Shabbos, but, you know, of course that doesn't prevent us from being Mechalel Shabbos. You know, if God is just showing us a big miracle to show that Shabbos is a very nice thing, but, you know, it's not an absolute obligation. So that's the Rebbe Amishlam, says the Arachayim, that comes with Moshe Rabbeinu to a tain, with a taina. You know, you're partially responsible for this. I mean, again, not Kechut HaSaira, in a very, very subtle, nuanced kind of way. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly not encouraging Chilul Shabbos, but in a backhanded kind of fashion, you know, you didn't quite give them the message that Shabbos is as important and as obligatory as we'd like, you know, as we'd like them to understand. One last point in the parsha. Again, I'm really just, so many people are interested, and especially I really want to make sure we get it in. Right? So, beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael b'midbar sin l'maseyem, Vayachnu b'refidim v'ein mayim l'shtos sa'am. Right? They're traveling, they come to refidim, there's no water. Vayorev ha'am in Moshe, the people argue with Moshe, Vayorev t'nuwa u'mayim v'nishta, give us water. Right? What are you bothering me? What are you testing Hashem? Right? You know, the people get thirsty, even thirstier for water. They go back to Moshe Rabbeinu, they complain against him again. And they say, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Right? We're all going to die here. We're going to die of thirst. Vayitzach Moshe El Hashem Le'Moshe. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? He calls out to God, Moshe El, what can I do with these people? They're about to stone me. Right? And of course, then God tells him, okay, go, take your staff, go hit the rock, v'chule, v'chule. But on that, if you take a look at the Orachayim page Kuf Dalet, it's Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Gimel, Vayitz Moshom v'chule. You know, this whole story is hard to understand. God can do anything. So why did he bring them to a part of the desert where they had no water? Right? Where they're going to die. I mean, if God wanted to set up the stage for denial and heresy, the best way to do it is to bring them to a place where they're going to die of thirst. Right? I mean, in a sense, says the Archem, the Rabban Shalom Kivyachal is asking for it. You know, he's asking for all of these complaints. I don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu either, says the Arachayim. Shibamakam she has a chalasa v'tfila v'tachnunim. What should Moshe Rabbeinu do if they're you know, dying of thirst? Let him daven with the Rabban Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu is no stranger to davening. Let him daven. So what does the Moshe Rabbeinu instead do? Bob Tainu Livnei Hashem Od Me'at. He goes to Rabban Shalom, you know, with a Tainu. Oh, they're about to stone me. What are you going to do to me, Rabban Shalom? It's almost like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be acting in a you know, difficult to understand fashion. She'eloh shelo choshesh al tzimonu v'yaldos b'nei Yisrael batzomu. Yaakov of men keeps Amul Amayim. Moshe Rabbeinu seems almost callous to the suffering of the Jewish people. What can I do with these people? They're going to stone me. Well, why don't you daven? Make a kol mishaberach. You know, I mean, do something, right? What are you kvetching? The Nira, let me explain to you how the whole 40 years in the desert worked, says the Arachayim. Ki Hashem nisa osom ladricham losei sinem lispal lufnei Hashem. By all of the nisyonos, all of the tests that the Jewish people experienced in the Midbar, were to try to get the Jewish people to daven. Right? In other words, wherever God was taking them, you know, it's not like God's GPS malfunctioned and they ended up somewhere where there was no water. Hashem says, "Oi, wanted to go the other way, but there's no water." No, Hashem dafka took them to the place where there was no water. Hashem Davka took them to the place which was difficult to get through. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jewish people to demonstrate their bitachon, their emun on Hashem, specifically through davening. Because they were the Dor Deo, because they were such an exalted generation, God wanted them to perfect themselves even further and to demonstrate even greater emunah and bitachon in Hashem and greater shlemus. The timsosh is hakim Hashem al adaber blonasel and mon yom lachodesh al dvar yom biyoma. Right, that's of course the whole idea behind the mon. God gives them exactly what they need every day, but just what they need for that day. They should get used to this idea of being directly dependent on Hashem. And that's why God also withheld the man until they were mamish pleading for it. Because God wants them to daven. It's not that, oh, they got stuck in the situation, so nebuch they daven. If Hashem finally says, okay, leave me alone already. Hashem wants them to daven. That's all of the nisyonos in the midbar. Hashem is trying to get them to daven. Modiya hakasuv, ki b'mekom sheyitzakul Hashem hayu merivim Moshe. Right? What happened over here? God brings them to a place where there's no water. God wants them to daven. Somehow, they don't daven. Why not? The Archaim will address a little bit later on in the piece. But somehow, they don't daven. And instead, they start fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. And when it becomes very difficult, they complain to him more. Right? And, you know, they don't daven. Just to skip down a little bit. Right, Koza his skill, the haven Moshe. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu understood what God was doing over here. The only thing God wanted was for the people to daven. And the more, the thirstier they got, the more they didn't daven. It's all waiting for them to daven. The whole thing is waiting for them to daven. And they're just not davening. Moshe Rabbeinu understands this. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't daven to Hashem because that would ruin the whole thing. The whole thing is to get the people to daven. You know, if Moshe Rabbeinu goes and davens himself, yeah, he could have solved the whole thing by davening. But he understands the whole thing is a test of the people to get the people to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, it's all up to them at this point. There's really nothing Moshe Rabbeinu can do for them. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu sees that they're not davening and it's just not working, he turns to Hashem and says, okay, what do I do now? What can I do for these people? There's really nothing, you know, I can't daven for them. I can't force them to daven. Right? They're not doing what I can't even ask them to daven. Right? Because the whole point is for the people to realize on their own that they need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, if I give away the answer, if I tell them that what they need to do is to daven in order to correct themselves, that's not going to be a sincere davening. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu told us that the answer is to daven over here. No, they're supposed to figure out on their own that they need to daven to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they can't figure it out, it's frustrating, but there's not really much I can do. And says Moshe Rabbeinu, "Od ma'adu skoluni. If I don't do something soon, they'll stone me, right? So what's he saying? He's saying, look, Rebbe Shlomo, what do you want over here? You want the people to turn to you with emunah bitachon. Good. So they're getting frustrated. They'll kill me. Maybe eventually they'll daven, but I won't be here anymore. And that's not really going to be good for anybody over here, right? What's that? I think again the best analogy to understand this Arachayim is with the idea of a test. Like a test in school. Moshe Rabbeinu is the teacher, the practice is administering a regents. So he'd love for the kids to do well in the regents, but he can't give them the answer. Right, but again, I think it's Davka because of their greatness, and they're such an exalted doer, right? For him to throw them a bone would be for them to fail. right? Because you go up to the front of the room by the regents. You start echad miyodei, you start giving off the answers, right? From the beginning. So they just failed. They failed right then and there, because if you had to give away the answers, they didn't pass the test.
Maybe that was even doing. I think it's followed afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. As he did by the end. So let us start the ball rolling.
Right. So it could be, in a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu is at that point and he's asking what to do. In other words, I think the way the Archaim would understand it is, look, okay, God, this doesn't seem to be working. Is there a plan B? Right? It doesn't seem to be working. They're not davening for whatever reason. What should I do? Maybe the answer in theory could have been, you start davening and let them follow. Now, Hashem doesn't give that answer. Hashem says, no, just give them the water already. Right? But in theory, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do anything on his own before consulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the plan B? Because this plan A doesn't seem to be working. Yeah.
In these days, it's pretty much in Torah. I gather that there were Sikana and the sea amongst Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe wanted the Eretz Yisrael to daven, couldn't he have just simply gone? I'm just throwing this up because this comes up in Parshas Yisrael. Couldn't Moshe have gone out to the king and said, look, I want you to start davening each and every one of your shvatim or your shmuna and show the people to daven? You will be responsible to the Moshe.
Right, but again, that would fail the test, because the test is they have to do it on their own. And I'm waiting for them to do it on their own. And if I give them a hint, if I give away the answers, they fail the test.
Okay, so
that's Moshe Rabbeinu's question to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, what now? This doesn't seem to be working. Right? That puzzle for that's his question. Yeah.
If I could say that they were so great, that if you're giving away the answers, it's not a big deal for them to go, let's just do it. It's not any big deal for them.
Right.
For us, on our level, even if somebody told us to the Dalvin, he still takes a great
deal. We still don't
Dalvin. For them, Dalvin?
Oh, okay.
And everything, and go Dalvin, and that's the answer, and
right, yeah, 100%. So why Taka didn't they daven? So let's go back to that question. I mean, here, they saw all these miracles. Like, why didn't they daven?
They didn't make the connection.
Right? Oh. Yeah. Thoro Isi, on page Kofhei, on the right-hand column, it's seven lines down. Thoro Isi, lost a slave. Eich am Hashem aroi dvarim ulfloi van aroi v'mitzvayim v'alayom v'amirboi yitub ador v'lo yisaku al Hashem. So why Taka didn't they daven? They saw so many miracles. And again, this goes to the issue. Why were they complaining throughout in the Midbar? Why didn't they daven? Why didn't they recognize that this whole thing was an Isaiah from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Especially because Chazal tells us, the Pasuk essentially tells us, that their tefillah is partially what got them out of Mitzrayim. Vayishma Elokim Esnak Osam. God heard them crying out and davening in Mitzrayim. Right? Yeah, okay, davening, crying out, whatever. But but they know that to cry out to God is effective, right? No, the Vayol and Hama Moshe, they're crying for Moshe. They're not crying out to God, right? So, shouldn't they recognize that crying out to Hashem is effective? V'ulai, maybe, ki daitim hoyo she'en sarich l'tfila al hadova, kol she'Hashem yeshno b'socham. They thought, Adarabba, since God is so with us, we don't need tefillah. Ki achar she'evim la'midbar pshita shlo'evim elasafik tzarcham, shim lo'ken ha'ahema avutim, lo'yistarchu le'tefillah, ve'ein zeh ela ha'en Hashem b'kirbam. It must be one of two things they reason, right? If God took us to the midbar, obviously part of the deal is He's going to take care of us. If He's not taking care of us, it obviously means that Hashem is not with us. So, either we don't need tefillah, or tefillah is not going to help, they reasoned. Right? So, it's one or the other. And that's when they complained to Hashem, and they said, we don't think Hashem is in our midst. You say, Ribbono Shel Olam, how could they say such a thing? God took them out of Mitzrayim, the ten makos. The answer is, they said, look, God was with us, but if God were really with us, He'd be taking care of us, He'd be coddling us, the same way that He did when He took us out of Mitzrayim. Obviously, for whatever reason, the very fact that we're thirsty means Hashem is not with us. Right? And Hashem has abandoned us, for whatever the cheshbon is. Right? And if Hashem has abandoned us, so then what's the point of davening? You know? Because obviously God made a choice to leave us behind. And it's so frustrating because it's exactly the opposite. Precisely because Hashem is with you. That's why you're suffering, because He wants you to turn to Him. Right? So, you know, that's the whole Midbar experience. Right? Just summed up right there. It's a tremendous, tremendous mussar in terms of everyday life. Because, I mean, again, you can look at the Dorday and say, why were they kvetching? But look at our own lives. Every time something goes wrong, a person's natural tendency is to say, where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the Archaim is teaching us, whenever you say, whenever the situation is, quote-unquote, lousy, and you're inclined to say, where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? The answer to that probably is, no, he's dafka here. Because by making the situation lousy, he's basically patting us on the, you know, tapping us on the shoulder and saying, okay, things are lousy. I want to hear some tefillos. Why don't you start davening? I'm waiting for you to respond to me. You know, I made things lousy so you can reach out to me. Right? The lousiness of the situation is an indication of the presence of God, not the absence of God. That's the lesson of all these misyonos in the mikvah. Okay? I wish everyone a good Shabbos. Hashem will pick up next week back on Wednesday weekend.
Thank you very much.